Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gensol Engineering Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Savli Mangle from AdFactor PR. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sejal. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to our Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. To guide us through the results today, we have the senior management team of Gensol Engineering Limited, headed by Mr. Anmol Singh Jaggi, Chairman and Managing Director. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. The actual results may vary as they are dependent on several external factors. We will commence the call with Mr. Anmol Singh Jaggi, taking you through the operational and financial performance for the quarter and fiscal year 2024 gone by, following which we will open the forum for Q&A. With that said, I would now hand over to Mr. Anmol Singh Jaggi to share his comments. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Savli. Savli, I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are, sir.
Good evening, esteemed shareholders, and thank you for joining the earnings call for Gensol Engineering Limited for Q4 and FY24. We are delighted to share that our latest results reflect a remarkable quarter and a year of growth. Comparing year-on-year figures, there has been a substantial growth in our key financial parameters across the board. Revenue surged by 2.5 times to 996 crores for FY24. EBITDA has shown an impressive 3 times growth to Rs. 260 crores, and our profit before tax has grown 2 times to Rs. 78 crores as compared to FY23. Before delving into our quarterly performance, I'd like to give you a brief overview of our company. We commenced operations in Gensol Engineering in 2012 by focusing on advisory services. We garnered a substantial market share in this space, establishing ourselves as leaders, having advised on projects with more than 33 gigawatt of installed capacity. After a few years, we expanded into the solar EPC market and made a strategic decision to discontinue our advisory services, redirecting our focus solely on EPC. The invaluable knowledge and expertise gained from our advisory business, rooted in our core engineering skill set, have been pivotal in distinguishing us and driving the success of numerous projects. The renewable energy sector in India, and particularly the solar sector, is seeing tremendous tailwinds. There is rising demand for clean and cost-effective energy sources, supported by Government of India's visionary initiatives and policies promoting renewable energy. As per the latest reports, India has surpassed Japan to become the world's third largest solar power generator, and for the first time since 1960, India's share of coal has dipped below 50% in terms of generation capacity addition. Gensol's track record and engineering prowess positions us at the forefront of seizing the expanding opportunities in this sector. We are amongst the top 10 EPC players in India, and in fact top 5 in terms of independent EPC players. By FY24, we have successfully executed over 770 megawatt of diverse solar projects encompassing rooftop, ground mount and floating solar installations across almost all states of India. All the more, we are doubling down and expanding the range of products and services in solar sector. We have acquired Scorpius Trackers in September 2023 to bring in product offerings to our customers which deliver 15-16% higher throughput and faster payback. We have established a new subsidiary in Mideast to enter the attractive solar market in that geography. We have won our first project in battery energy storage system under the build-own-operate model and see a strong opportunity in this future. Our solar order book stands at Rs. 1,448 crores as on FY24 end with a bid pipeline that far surpasses the number. In quarter 4 FY24, our EPC business generated a revenue of Rs. 354 crores. Which translates into an increase of 145% year-on-year. For the full financial year, Our solar segment grew 2 times to over Rs. 830 crores, showcasing robust performance, remarkable strength and resilience. We have recently appointed Ms. Shilpa Urekar as the CEO of our EPC business. She was previously the national head at Sterling Wilson. She will succeed Mr. Ali Imran Naqvi, who has been nominated for a role to oversee growth of Jinsol Engineering Limited and its subsidiaries. I am confident that Jinsol solar business will grow manifold under her able leadership. With a goal to contribute towards India's massive energy transition journey, we have strategically expanded into EV leasing and manufacturing in the last 2 years. While the EPC business has been the cornerstone of our growth, we are confident that new segments will start to meaningfully contribute to our growth in the foreseeable future. While we initially commenced our EV leasing business with Jinsol in FY24, we established Jinsol EV Lease Private Limited, spearheaded by Mr. Amit Kumar. The subsidiary has recently donned the brand name of Lit EV and is transforming the market with innovative solutions and comprehensive EV lifecycle management covering two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers, large and heavy commercial vehicles and buses. Our leasing business achieved a total revenue of 134 crores in FY24, a tremendous growth of 227% from FY23. On the EV manufacturing front, we have a state-of-art manufacturing facility in Chakan, Pune, with a production capacity of 30,000 vehicles per annum. The vehicle's design, dimensions, weight, and range have been meticulously engineered to seamlessly integrate into urban fleet and cargo segments with future plans for urban passenger usage. As of late FY24, we have received ARAI certification for the vehicle, an important milestone validating the vehicle's performance, safety, and compliance to vehicle regulatory norms. Currently, we are undertaking further validation and testing, including extreme weather conditions and vibration testing and some supply chain optimization, which is expected to complete by quarter 2 FY25, when we will also start the test production for our customers and on-road testing. The EV leasing subsidiary Let's EV, as well as the EV manufacturing ventures, are still in their early stages, and we are investing in them so that they become significant contributors to our future top line and bottom line. Moving to the financial update, quarter 4 FY24 was a very strong quarter for us. While it is true that the fourth quarter is always the highest for our EPC business, it is worthy to note that our quarter 4 FY24 revenue of Rs. 412 crores is slightly greater than the full year FY23 revenue. The financial performance of the company in the full year FY24 reflects a very commendable growth trajectory. On a consolidated basis, our revenue has grown from Rs. 403 crores in FY23 to Rs. 996 crores, which translates into a growth of 147%. Our revenue from operations has increased by 143% to Rs. 963 crores from Rs. 398 crores. The consolidated EBITDA increased to Rs. 260 crores with a 26% margin in FY24, representing a remarkable increase from a figure of Rs. 82 crores and a 20% margin last year. Our consolidated profit before tax increased by 135% to Rs. 78 crores compared to Rs. 33 crores from the previous year. The consolidated PAT was Rs. 53 crores in FY24, up 129% from Rs. 23 crores a year ago. I would now like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Envis Analysis. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the guidance side. So what is our guidance for FY25 in terms of revenue, OPM and bottom line?
Sure. So I think we will continue to maintain the guidance we provided in January 24. In FY25, on a consolidated basis, Jinsol is projected to achieve the milestone of Rs. 2,000 crore revenue, approximately 2x growth from what we did in FY24. And, so that will be our guidance.
And what about the margins and the bottom line?
So I think on the bottom line, we have said that our consolidated EBITDA margins are about 25-26%. We see that we should continue to do the similar kind of number.
Understood, sir. And so secondly, on the electric vehicle plant, which is expected to commence operations in Q2 this year, so do you anticipate any revenue contribution from this plant in FY25?
Yeah, so we have taken a very minor revenue from there. I think when we start production in quarter two, it is going to start off with trial production and then we will gradually ramp up. So it is going to take some time for, it is not going to contribute in FY25 a great amount of revenue, although there is still some revenue that we will get from the EV manufacturing plant in the 2,000 crore projection that we have given.
And so just to understand on the Scorpius Trackers Private Limited, so what kind of product are we targeting in that particular company and what kind of orders are we looking at, and do we expect any kind of revenue from there on in FY25?
Of course, there is a good amount of revenue that we are expecting from Scorpius. The Scorpius Tracker, is the revenue from there is expected to actually double between FY24 and FY25. There is a huge amount of international sales opportunities which is there. As we speak, our CEO for Scorpius Trackers is in the U.S. market and has already started to develop the U.S. market for us. We believe that this market is going to be extremely important, and it's actually the largest renewable energy market in the world, and trackers, almost every project there is built on trackers. So a lot of opportunities for tracker manufacturers across the globe, and of course Scorpius Trackers is going to do very well.
So sir, out of the total order book of 1783 crore, how much is belonging to Scorpius Trackers?
I would not have the exact number, but I can today tell you that approximately out of the 1700 crore odd order book, Scorpius would have about 100 crore-ish order book.
And last year, what was the revenue from Scorpius Trackers?
Just one second. Scorpius Trackers would have contributed, I think, close to 70 crores.
That means it will close approximately 150 crores this year, right?
50 crores, sorry. It was 50 crores.
So 100 crore is doable this year, right?
Yes.
And the last question on the cash flow side, despite having significant increase in top line and bottom line, we are still at the negative cash flow. So what is the, how the situation will going forward, that is one. And additionally, what constitutes the other asset items that is somewhere amounting to 777 crore?
So first of all, on the cash flow, I think as you know that we had a spectacular quarter four, and in the quarter four the revenue that we did was almost equal to the revenue that we did in entire FY23, and most of the revenue, and it, you know that It the typical receivables day for us in the solar EPC space is between 45 and 50 days. So if I just add that half of the quarter revenue is in terms of receivables, which is there. So we did a very large revenue for the quarter. So and about 50% of that would have spilled over as receivables, and hence that is why we see a cash flow from operating activities. Most of the billing that we did for the last quarter has already got converted into cash. So you will see much better operating cash flow for quarter one. It was only because of the very large growth that we saw quarter on quarter of the revenue almost doubling and almost close to FY23 revenue, that the last 45-day revenue that we did in the quarter could not convert into cash. So that is the reply on the first question. Could you repeat the second question, please?
What constitutes the other asset items somewhere 777 crore? I think amount is appearing in the balance sheet.
Other assets? Sorry, I'm not able to locate other assets onto our books. Are you talking about the current assets or the non-current assets?
Current. I think it is the current asset item. Right.
Yeah. So current assets is about 227 crores is trade receivable, and about close to 380 crores is the cash which is there. These are the two major constituents of the current assets.
And what is the other current assets actually? That's something I was asking. Like 293 CR is there.
Other current assets basically are retention money of 88 crores and the application money that we have paid towards listing of our securities for our warrants round, which is about 8 crores. These are part of the other financial assets which are there. In terms of, there is also work in progress of 134 crores, 139 crores.
So what is this WIP belonging to?
WIP is where work has been done, but billing has not been done. Where we have not achieved the milestone with the customer of getting the billing done, but work has been done, cost has been incurred.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Preet Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Hello. Good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations for amazing set of numbers. Sir, my question was on EV part. So, could you explain me when our EV car would come and how much time it will take and what could we expect in revenue in FY 2025?
Sure. As you know, in February 24th, we received the ARAI certification for our fleet vehicles. The ARAI certification is a very important milestone.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'll request Preeti if you can mute and then maybe, yeah. Thank you. So the ARAI certification is a very important step which has happened. We are currently undergoing the testing of the vehicle post the ARAI, and we expect that the vehicle will be start selling to customers from the test vehicles will be start selling to the customers from quarter two of the current financial year, and in terms of revenue, we are expecting that we will have a revenue of between 50 and 100 crores from EV manufacturing in FY 25.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Thank you, sir, for giving me.
Thank you, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemal, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Congratulations on a good set of number, and I'm new to your company. So my first question is, sir, I'm trying to understand between quarter three and quarter four, your solar ETC EBITDA margins have fallen. So is there a one-off item out there? And what are the typical EBITDA margins that you should expect from your solar EPC projects?
No, I think we will stick to our consolidated EBITDA guidance of 25-26%, and we will continue to deliver on that. The EBITDA margins are a mix of our balance of system projects and our turnkey projects. If in a particular quarter more turnkey projects have been executed, you will see slightly lower margin. But if in the quarter more BOS balance of system projects have been executed, then you will see a slightly higher margin. But I think because our order book is pretty much even between the two, we will continue to stand by our consolidated EBITDA margin of 25-26%.
Okay, and so because you've been to Dubai, now you've entered Dubai, and in India, so this year, what new order inflow do you expect in the solar EPC? What is your base expectation?
Yeah, so I think our order bid pipeline is extremely strong. The bid pipeline that we have even today is executing. I'm talking first about the Indian market. The bid pipeline that we have today is about close to 3,000 crore rupees of bid pipeline that we have. We will be winning a good portion of these orders. Also, in the Middle East, we have started to win some good orders. Our order book there is growing very healthy. In fact, you would soon hear some announcements around there.
Okay, so you are expecting a good order. Your win rates are generally, is there a win probability rate in your order bid line, like 20%, 30%, 40%, or?
No. We would not want to put it in terms of percentage. So we are looking at how much is our what we can execute comfortably. That we will do. We will like to execute 2,000 crores of revenue in this year. and we have a projection for next year, so we will accordingly build the order book. I think in the EPC business, it is very easy to scale up the order book, and then most companies default on their time commitments. We will be very careful about all of this. So we will build the order book in a way where we can comfortably achieve our 2,000 crore revenue guidance for this year, and also have sufficient order book for our next year. I think we will not go like crazily aggressively on building order books. I think we will be more cautious, focus more on delivering margins than we will focus on just securing more and more orders and then maybe falter on their commitments.
Okay. And so on the Scorpius trackers and the Gensol EV, what should be the revenue for EBITDA neutral position for the EV lease business and the Scorpius trackers? Is there a revenue range you need for to become EBITDA neutral?
I think if you look at the Scorpius business, we expect that this year it should be actually in profit. And of course, we are expecting super normal profits from Scorpius trackers to come out not in FY25, from FY26 as the U.S. market opens up for Scorpius trackers. So that will be very important. In terms of EV leasing, I think the loss is majorly due to the heavy depreciation that we have. I think I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was about close to 60-70 crores of depreciation that we had in the EV leasing business, which causes the loss to happen. I think it is if till the time we are continuously, so there is no cash loss in the EV leasing business. And what we would want to say is that if we are growing the EV business very fast, the depreciation will continue to happen, and you know, optically it will look like a loss, but actually on the cash flow there will not be a loss.
So in this leasing business, do you ever have to account for any provision for, like, I know the car is, you've leased out, but if people not paying their payments, are there any provisions that you see in terms of just like a regular EMI model? I'm sure in leasing also there will be some delinquencies that you may encounter in the future, right?
Yep. So as of now, the book is absolutely pristine. We have not seen even one customer delay our payment by even one day. If there is any case of that happening, we will be the most forthcoming in making a provision for it. But as of even yesterday, I can confirm to you that not even one customer has delayed any payment by even one day on the EV leasing side. So it's a 100% pristine book that we have.
So how big would be this EV leasing book as of today?
Yeah, so we have about close to 600 crores of assets under management.
But your net debt showed 8, if I'm not wrong, your debt is 839 crores, right?
Yeah, so the debt is between EV leasing, and you will see that a lot of we have raised a substantial amount of debt because we expect our EV leasing business to grow actually very fast. And you will see that there is a very large increase in the cash. So we have raised the debt and we have kept it as a war chest. So we are doing some very good amount of bidding when it comes to EV leasing also, and we will soon see that the cash that we have will get converted into fixed assets for the leasing business. So as you know, the company is sitting on a very good level of cash as on 31st March.
So this business would have a very good EBITDA margin for now for you, I'm assuming. Is that accurate? Would it be more than your consolidated EBITDA?
Sorry?
Would the EBITDA margin for your leasing business be higher than the consolidated EBITDA that you carry?
No, it will not be higher than consolidated because EV leasing will also get consolidated. You might to say that it might be larger than the solar business.
Correct.
So I think you will see from a EBITDA margin perspective, I think it will be close to half and half. Half of the EBITDA next year will come from the EV leasing business, and half of the EBITDA will come from the solar business.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You've been very kind. I better understand now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions From all the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Shailesh, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congrats on the number.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. We are not able to hear you. May I request you to please use
your
handset?
What about now? Is it audible?
Hello. Yes, much better.
Slightly
sir.
Better. Slightly better.
So we are not able to hear you. May I request you to please rejoin the queue? The next question is from the line of Kaustav Datta, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Anmol. How are you doing?
Very good, sir. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Yeah. All right. So my question is, you know, let me start off with the fundraise that you did, 900 crores odd. I don't see it reflected in the March balance sheet. And if I recall, the EGM clearance happened in the first week of March. So has it been received subsequently is my question.
No, sir. We have not received the money. We have not opened the round yet. We expect to open the round as the company was having very healthy cash balance. We are going to open up our round in the maybe early part of June is when we are going to open up the round. We have not still taken the equity in.
All right. So you've got the commitment letters is what you're saying. The commitment is
absolutely
there.
The commitment letters, the list of investors is finalized.
Only the timing you have to
900 crores that we are raising. It will also help as we raise more equity, it will help us to improve the business further. But it is right now we have not taken the money in. I think you would see the first round of this money when we close the books for 30th June.
All right. Great. I was wanting that update. All right. So, on the EV leasing part, my question is, you have a segment which is EV leasing, and then you have another less EV subsidiary which got floated. What's the distinction and what's your eventual plan to merge the two or the way forward?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yes, sir. So, as I mentioned in the opening commentary that earlier, there was no subsidiary which was there for EV leasing, and we used to run the leasing business through the Gensol Engineering Limited, in which we were doing the solar EPC. So out of there, we have leased out substantial amount of assets. Eventually, when we thought that this is going to be a decently large business and we should have a separate company and a dedicated entity and a dedicated leadership for this business, we floated a subsidiary when the subsidy was floated sometime in the second half of the last financial year, we have leased out all the vehicles from the subsidiary entity only. It is our endeavor that we should actually be able to take out all the assets and do a slump sale of assets from Gensol Engineering Limited into Let's EV, which is the EV leasing arm. Someday in the future, when we are able to get all clearances from slum sale, from lenders, etc., you would see that the assets of EV leasing assets on Gensol Engineering Limited will go down.
All right, because it also makes sense and more because you also have a high debt, which for EPC you don't require, and this is primarily because of the EV leasing part, which is quite natural in this business. So I think it's better to separate. That's my view.
So that's why we opened up the subsidiary company, and from then we have not taken over any more EV leasing from Gensol Engineering Limited. But yes, we will try to actually slump sale the assets and bring them down to the subsidiary company.
Right. And staying with EV leasing, fundamentally, you were explaining the other investor before me. The depreciation is pretty high, and I see a little profit in this quarter. So are you saying at a PAT level, you won't generate profit for the EV leasing fundamentally? Is that what you're saying?
No, we will generate. It is just about, sir, that what we try to do is that there is an element of residual value of the assets that we take. And when we take the element of residual value, actually the assets don't depreciate by that much, but we have to account for that much depreciation. But as the asset and the book kind of starts to mature, you will see that we will continue to receive leasing income, but the depreciation would have reduced substantially.
All right, and when do you see that coming? Which year?
I think the book needs to age a little more. The book is very new. It's just a sub 2 year kind of a book which is there, out of which actually majority of the book is sub 1 year. So I think we'll let the book age to at least two and a half years for then to say that there is 50% of older assets on the book and 50% of newer assets on the book to blend it well.
All right. And what is the percentage of Blue Smart versus others currently in your 600 crores asset under management?
So it's greater than 50%, sir.
Blue Smart is greater than 50%? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. All right. All right. Thanks for that. And, you know, just on the numbers, you said 2,000 crore is your revenue guidance for FY25. You have an existing order book of 1,448 and a strong pipeline is what you said. So
right.
Out of this 1,448, do you think 100% will be executed in FY25? Is that a fair comment or will take more?
1,448, we expect that we will be able to execute a large portion of it. And based on the new orders that we get, we will be able to do our complete guidance of 2,000 crores.
All right, good. And can you speak a bit more about the Scorpius opportunity in US that you alluded to a while back, 2 years down the line?
So the US market is the mother of all renewable energy market, and there is a very strong demand for trackers in that market. In fact, that was the very basis of us acquiring this business. There is a lot of growth potential which is there, and the waiting timelines for trackers in that market is today in excess of 8 to 9 months, the wait timeline for customers. So there is a huge demand for new tracker companies to come in, and Scorpius has a great technology. As we speak, Scorpius is undergoing the testing in the U.S. market, and you would see that before the year end, our testing for Scorpius will complete, and we could commence the sale of Scorpius trackers from early part of next year, and hence the margins as well as the top line that Scorpius can get post the U.S. Testing is over and we can start getting customers will be very substantial. But that will all reflect in FY26. It will not reflect in FY25. FY25 is the work in progress that we need to do to get the certifications for Scorpius for US.
All right. Great. And I just, you know, if I can squeeze in one more question is on your EV manufacturing side. You said Q2, you expect to start your trial production. Am I correct?
Right.
And, you know, the first rollout may happen this year towards the end.
May I request you to please rejoin the queue for the follow-up question?
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soumya Rajan Sahu, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay. I have this question on the shareholder holding. So recently we have heard that noise basically regarding Zenith multi-trading. So right now still they are holding 1.37%. So what's the plan? Like, is anybody buying that from the promoter group, or how is it getting managed?
So I think as of what our knowledge is, the Zenith multi-trading shares are in a freeze which is there. So I think it is the freeze is with the government authorities. And the government authorities will decide on what is the next course of action with Zenith Multitrade. We have not been communicated by any government authority on their intent to sell or buy or do anything with those shares. In fact, we have no communication with government authorities on this matter. So from that perspective, we will await if any government authority reaches out to us and says that they would want to sell their shares or something. As of now, we have not heard anything from them.
Okay, so that means it is banned right now. That means it is blocked, so nobody can sell it or buy those shares, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sirpal, who is a high net worth investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Hi. So my quick question is, I just wanted to understand the financial matrix of our leasing business, like at what rate we give, what IRR we see, and how much do we bill Blue Smart versus the other 50% clients. If you can just give me an idea on that, please.
Sure. So on the leasing business, first of all, there are two streams of income that we make. One stream of income is the income that we get, which is purely what I can say is the arbitrage which we have, where our cost of funds is between 10-10.5%, whereas the lease cost is computed at between 14-15%. So that is one source of income, and the other source of income is the services that the business provides. Services in terms of maintenance, services in terms of insurance, et cetera, that we provide. These are the two revenue streams which are there. And in terms of split between what we do to Blue Smart or to any other customer, it is the same. It is the same kind of IRR that we make on every customer. The IRR depends on the volume. The IRR depends on the type of volume, the type of vehicle. The IRR depends on the use case that is there, on the customer profile, credit worthiness, et cetera, et cetera. There are multiple parameters which go into deciding the IRR. But on a whole, the entire portfolio is in a very tight range of IRR which is there.
Okay. Sir, your numbers are very good, sir, for this year. But I can see that the cash flow from operation is negative 98 crore. Any major reason why this is negative 98 crores? Was it this last year where it was 112 crores positive?
Right. So, like I mentioned in the previous question also, is the fact that our quarter four was a very strong quarter. Our quarter four FY24 was greater than actually the full year of FY23. The last 45 days, as you would imagine, will always be receivables for us. So if we did in the last quarter about close to 350 crores of revenue, out of which about 180, 190 crores will be receivables because the last 45 days will not get translated into cash. So there is about 100, and that's why there is about 170, 180 crores of receivables that we have from the last 45 days of the quarter, which translated into us having a negative cash flow from operating activities. Like I already mentioned, most of these receivables, as we speak, have already been converted into cash. So and when you see for the quarter of June, you will see a positive cash flow for sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Manu, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for great set of numbers. Blue Smart has been making a great buzz around with 7300 as a fleet, and as you mentioned, 50% of leasing happens through Gensol. As per articles, they're planning to expand to maybe 12,000 cars or 25,000 cars, and then also launching in Dubai. What percentage are we looking at with Gensol leasing it to Blue Smart, if you may help me?
So on every progressive basis, we are reducing one Blue Smart dependence onto Gensol for their leasing, and also we are diversifying the book of Gensol EV also, the LED EV book also. As we speak, if you look at the last maybe 2,000 cars that would have been added by Blue Smart, there would be more non-LED TV cars which would have got added to the fleet than earlier. So I think you would actually, as a percentage, see sequential decline of the assets of the assets that LED TV has to Blue Smart. So Blue Smart, as it's rising, is now having multiple leasing partners to give leasing to them. We would try to maintain a healthy share of business with Blue Smart, but we will also ensure that it actually comes down to a healthy level of 20-30%.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Hemant, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Sir, my question is regarding what is the reason for high promoter pledge at around 63%, which actually resulted the stock to be under SEBI ASM surveillance, and when are you expecting to release the pledge on this shares?
Right, so there are two types of pledges that we have. The first pledge is where we have taken a promoter funding to invest in the warrants round. So the warrant round of 900 crores has a promoter investment of 130 crores. So we have raised money by pledging the shares, and we are going to invest that into Gensol. The promoters have mentioned have pledged an amount of 130 crores to be invested in the current warrants round. So a portion of the loan against shares is for that. And the other portion is actually as a collateral which has been given basically to IREDA and Power Finance Corporation, which have sanctioned loans for us. So about a good portion of the pledge is towards IREDA and PFC, which is acting as a collateral, and some portion of the pledge is towards the founders raising capital to invest in the current warrant round.
And when are you expecting to release the pledge on this share?
So I think the pledge from a IREDA PFC will only happen at the end of the duration of the debt, and so which might be between 2 and 3 years. From the loan that we have taken for investment into promoter that we have taken to invest in the warrant round, I think that you could see the pledge coming down in about 6 months' time.
Yeah, thank you. And another question. Given the current debt-to-equity ratio stays high around 3.5 times, what's your likely guidance of debt levels in the midterm, likely 1 to 2 years? And with the negative operating cash flows, are you comfortable to maintain these levels of debt?
Right. So two parts. One you have to also look that the company has substantial cash. So our net debt-to-equity is actually 2.7. Because the company had about close to 400 crores plus cash, which was there. Hence, you have to not look at the debt to equity, but the net debt to equity. So net debt to equity is 2.7:1. As you know that we are going to raise 900 crores from the warrants round, and that, as I mentioned in the previous question also, that we will start getting this money from June. So you will see that the debt-equity ratio will come down to a very comfortable number. Our current equity is about 300 crores. If we can get about 400 crores more of money from the warrants round, you will see a substantial reduction in the debt-equity ratio.
Yeah, sir, one last question. This is regarding the EME manufacturing side. Given the intense competition across the EV space, what's your likely strategy to penetrate into the EV market, particularly the three-wheeler which you are trying to get in?
Right, so we believe that there is not a single product in the market which matches the price and performance of our EV car. So the EV car that we have, which is going to be priced very attractively and has all the features and is very feature-rich, you will see that there is going to be a supermarket acceptability for our vehicles, and in fact is going to be a very unique vehicle which the Indian public has not seen. And hence, I believe that it's going to be a big success. So we are very excited and gung-ho about bringing this car as soon as possible to the market.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Makkar, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Amol sir. How are you?
All good, thanks.
Yeah, so Anmol, so basically, so I have a suggestion first. So, what we are doing in our leasing business, so we are charging a depreciation according to the company's debt. But as far as I understand, we can also evaluate our useful life of particular car, and then accordingly we can charge the depreciation whatever the useful life we have. So let's say if company's debt is allowing for the 10 years of depreciation, and if I estimate that car can run for 20 years, then we can evaluate that and accordingly charge the depreciation in our financial statement. So it's just a session, like you can also discuss with the consultant as well. So I think that will help.
So you're very right. I think we are just being conservative in our approach. And I think that, like I mentioned, that this conservatism will actually start to yield results in the coming years. So as prudent management, I will remain conservative, although I know that I understand from your point that we could change the thought of how we depreciate the asset.
Right. And it's allowed, basically. It's just a technical evaluation that we have to do. And we should have a proper documentation, like why it's 20 years of why it should be, we should depreciate in 20 years. So we can do, and we should have a proper documentation. It's allowed. So as far as I understand, so basically that's what I am just giving the suggestion to the management.
It's a good suggestion. Thank you for that. I think you are absolutely right. We will surely discuss with our auditors also about it. But like I mentioned, being conservative, we might stick to what Companies Act allows for a few more quarters.
Sure. So next question, so I have a question also, but it's from the industry perspective. Like, till what year we are expecting this EPC solar, like we are seeing the growth in industry, like 50% or 100% in, like, 2 or 3 years back. So just wanted to understand, like, for what more year we are expecting this kind of growth in this industry, or, for how many years we are expecting in our company as well.
Yeah, so I think if you look at the number of tenders which have come out, and if you look at what is happening in the market, I think we are seeing that India is going to have some 300 plus gigawatt of solar power by FY30, which means that there is going to be no dearth of orders for solar, no dearth of orders for battery energy storage systems. It's going to be for a long, long haul. I don't think that at least till FY30 we have any cause of concern on slowing down of order book, etc. I think it's substantial. It's like once in a lifetime kind of opportunity where there is such a big market growing at such a fast pace.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sachdeva, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. So my question is basically,
sorry to interrupt you, sir. May I request you to please use your handset?
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, in India, where car is taken as a status symbol, especially in India, what made you think to go for a three-wheeler car like an auto rather than a four-wheeler car? I just want to understand the rationale behind your decision. Because if we can understand from a commercial point of view, but for a personal vehicle, who will buy a three-wheeler car? Just want to understand the rationale.
Yeah, we have done a lot of market research around this. And in our market research, we have spoken to a lot of people in urban areas. And what we have seen is that a very high percentage of journey, about 70% of all journeys, that anybody travels in a car is a single seater journey, which is there. In Europe, in Japan, in Korea, there is a huge amount of resurgence of a two seater vehicle. We believe that this trend will also capture come in India, because you are seeing very high incidence of traffic jams. You are seeing very high fuel expenses that people are incurring. Hence, we believe that a two-door, two-seater car will be something which the Indian market is going to love. And before launching or before building the vehicle, we have done enough amount of market research. We have analyzed which kind of cohorts we will sell these vehicle to, which is the kind of customer which will buy the vehicle. So there is enough solid background checks that we have done to ensure that our vehicle will be a success in the market. However, I completely take your point that car is a status symbol, but you would see that convenience of operating a two-door, two-seater car will be so high in urban areas that a lot of people will actually shift to it.
But sir, if we see MG Commerce, that car is, I think, smaller than your car, and that is not making any much sales around.
So MG Commerce is 8.5 lakh rupees.
I mean, sir, difference between it might be 1 and 2 lakhs difference between your car and MG.
I will not comment on our pricing. I will not comment on our pricing, but I will tell you that for the right product, the right pricing, the right feature is very, very important. Our car is a feature-rich car. Our car is being launched at the right price, which we believe is a very well market research price, and hence you will see a good adoption of that happening. So we are very confident, and we have taken our lessons actually from MG Comet. Good that MG launched before us, so we got some good interesting lessons from them.
Because when we talk about traffic jams, because I'm asking about the size of the car. That car is smaller than your car. So that's why I'm asking this question.
I'm not sure on the dimension. I don't remember the exact dimension of MG Comet. We are a sub 4 meter, 3.6 meter kind of a car. So I'm not very sure on the MG Comet dimension.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Mishra, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
So I would just like to know that there is a plenty much an amount of money parked in FDs. So in PBT, I was just checking the profit before tax. So there's a very huge income coming from an other income. And after that, we are diluting the equity. So, like, what is the play behind that, if you could just explain to me?
Sure. So, see, we are building a long-term business. You have to expect that it's not that we draw down a loan of 100 crores and that 100 crores of loan will get deployed tomorrow morning. Building capital assets is a time-consuming effort which needs. We draw down debt at right motions of time depending on what we believe is going to be our order book, how much is our customer requirement, et cetera, et cetera. As a short-term measure, before the money gets deployed into creating fixed assets or into creating working capital, that money is put into fixed deposits. So that's the thing. Given the fact that we were already sitting on very good amount of cash, we have pushed forward our warrants round by one quarter. So we are making very prudent decisions when it comes to our treasury operations, and hence you will continue to see that while we maintain our monthly outgo for this particular year is going to be in the range of 150 crores a month. So having some 200 crores of cash, which is equal to 2-3 months of our monthly expense is a good thing. I think you should be actually worried if the balance is the cash balance in the company was only 50-100 crores when our monthly expense was about close to 150 crores. So from that perspective, I think it's good that we carry these cash levels. It gives us opportunities that if we get a large order or we want to bid for large orders, we can do that. So it's actually a good thing which is there that we are maintaining high levels of cash.
Okay, sir. Just a second question, that what is the order pipeline and what kind of revenue can we see in the upcoming year?
So we've already guided that our consolidated revenue for FY25 will be 2,000 crores, and which guidance we have been giving from January of this year. We stick to that guidance of 2,000 crores of revenue that we will do. And we also stick forward to our consolidated EBITDA of 25%.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analysis. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. Just to understand, what are the CAPEX plans for next 2 to 3 years down the line?
In CAPEX plans, of course, our EV manufacturing plant will require additional CAPEX from the current CAPEX that we have done. As we also get into this is a fleet vehicle, then we will get into a cargo vehicle, and then we will get into a personal mobility vehicle. So there will be CAPEX associated with that in FY25 and some amount of it in FY26. On the EV leasing side, it's a continuous CAPEX that we will continue to do. So you will see us buying more and more vehicles and leasing out to them. But that kind of CAPEX is actually revenue generating from pretty much year one. We also see that there is a substantial amount of opportunity in battery energy storage systems. So there will be, as we bid more and more for more and more BESS projects, there will be some amount of CAPEX towards that also.
So can you put a number to it, like what kind of the annual run rate of CapEx that we will be doing for next 2 to 3 years?
I think as the BESS is just getting formulated, the business plan for BESS is getting formulated, and some bids are coming, hard to put a number on what kind of capex that we will do. But I think on the EV manufacturing side, it will need between 75 and 100 crores more, and if the EV leasing book will continue to grow by 100% year on year.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anmol Singh Jaggi for closing comments.
In the closing, I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to each one of our respected investors for joining our call. As we reflect on remarkable progress made in our business, it is evident that Gensol is not just thriving, but standing as a leader in green energy and clean mobility revolution. We are continuously investing in our business, and our focus remains on continuing to deliver value to our shareholders and customers. I would like to thank again all of you for attending our earnings call. Thank you.
On behalf of Gensol Engineering Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.